I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KrisAnnHall.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, truth over your favorite personality. Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you know the Constitution matters? I mean, really matters. Not just a matter of political position, not just a matter of purism, not just a matter of something up for debate, interpretation, or application. The Constitution matters. Violating the law for personal gain, convenience, or comfort is the very example of immorality. But the Constitution, the supreme law of the land, when our politicians vote contrary to the Constitution, well, now, let's see, that's just a minor offense, because we need to compromise. Can I sit down and compromise with my local law enforcement officer when he wants to tell me that I have to follow the law? Is that the compromise that I need to be making with him? Well, that's what our politicians do. How is that okay? You know, the crazy thing is, if you don't follow their laws, even when they're unconstitutional, even when they're unlawful, you'll be fined. You'll have your property taken from you by force. You will have your wages garnished. You will have your bank accounts seized. Just because you don't follow their laws, even when they're unlawful. We have a supreme law of the land that is not unlawful. Do you know why our supreme law of the land is not unlawful? Because the supreme law of the land is based on your rights. The supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States, was drafted to preserve your rights. A law that's created to preserve liberty is a law that must be followed. That seems contradictory in terms these days, considering the way we write laws to preserve liberty. Really, I thought laws were meant to preserve safety. I thought laws were there to keep you safe on the roads, to keep you safe in your home, to keep you safe in your job. Laws can't make you safe. Laws can't do anything to help you. The only reason we have laws are to preserve liberty. Laws don't stop crimes. Laws only set up a mechanism to punish criminals. And yet, we allow our politicians to vote contrary to the supreme law of the land, calling it a minor offense. Because we don't need these constitutional purists who are unwilling to compromise. A constitutional purist like whom? Like the men who wrote it? Like the women who fought for liberty so we could have it? It is not a minor offense. Voting contrary to the Constitution is not minor. It has and will have serious consequences, and it is a matter of morality. Federalist Paper 78, Alexander Hamilton says, quote, "No legislative act, therefore contrary to the Constitution, can be valid. To deny this would be to affirm that the deputy is greater than his principal, that the servant is above his master, that the representatives of the people are superior to the people themselves. You see, the Constitution does matter because a Constitution is a representation of the people. And when politicians are allowed by consent and permission of the people, silence is consent. Timely payment of your taxes is consent. When we allow politicians to vote against the Constitution with our consent, we are allowing them to be superior to the supreme law of the land. And when they feel superior to the supreme law of the land, they become superior to the people whom the law represents. Do we have any right then to wonder why our people in Washington, D.C., and even now down to our governors and our state legislators, act as if they are our masters and we are inferior subjects? Do you know how many times I speak? Oh my goodness. Do you know how many times I speak to a federal representative and the comment I get is, "Oh, Chrisanne, you just don't know how it really works." Do you know how patronizing that is? Do you know what that statement is saying? Oh, you impudent little subject. You have absolutely no idea how hard it is and what it takes to run a kingdom. You sit in your little peasant home with your little peasant job. You can't possibly know what it's like to run a kingdom. And how dare you even inquire as to the wisdom of those in seats over you? Really, when they are superior to the law of the land, the law created by the people through their states, do we have any right to wonder why they act as if they are our masters? When we allow these violators of the law to be elected and re-elected, we are simply admitting that we are happy in our servitude. I really hope to impress that the Constitution matters. Because what we're doing is we're giving people permission to be immoral and arbitrary. We know that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And when we ignore what our politicians do, what we're telling them is, you know, do whatever you need to do for your own personal gain. Do whatever you need to do so that you can get reelected. The law be damned. We'll just go ahead and go with the prosperity thing and the power thing and whatever makes you comfortable. Are we tired of immoral and destructive government? We are not a reflection of our government. The government is a reflection of its people. And the government will only be what we make it be. And what we allow it to be. Do you realize we force government to be immoral when we allow them to circumvent the law? And by continually electing immoral people, and I will repeat myself, voting contrary to the Constitution, regardless of what you think is the better outcome, regardless of your excuse and regardless of your complaint about purism. Voting against the Constitution is voting against the people and the supreme law of the land. It is voting against the liberty and the rights of the people, and it is immoral. And then we give them excuses for their behavior by hearing things. Well, you know, we don't have any choice. We're giving bad choices on either side. And by giving bad choices on either side, then we're left with nothing but bad choices. You know what? Only slaves are forced to take a choice. I believe there are always good options. Problem is, government has become too lazy, too spineless, and too immoral to do anything about it. this lesser of two evils argument, ensuring that we only have evil. Supporting the status quo doesn't change anything. And we have no ground to wonder why government is over, after this budget, now $20 trillion in debt. $20 trillion over, well, it's actually more than that, really, when you look at the hidden numbers. Many economic experts will tell you that our debt 5 years ago was over $200 trillion when you look at all the promised money and all the hidden spending. That's absolutely incredible. We have no right to complain about $20 trillion or $200 trillion in debt when we allow immoral people to continue to raise it without our objection. We are carelessly spending our children into servitude. We are intentionally empowering immoral people that are actively depriving our future of liberty. If we're really tired of immoral government and destructive government, then we need to do something about it. We need to stop giving them excuses. We need to stop re-electing them. Oh, but the other guy will win. You know, God bless the other guy. I have a terrible feeling that we're going to have some really, really, really wicked people in government before the people are really, really, really willing to do something. Jefferson said, men will find evil sufferable, and they'll tolerate evil as long as it's sufferable. Because you see, the turmoil of liberty is not as easy to take as the peace of servitude. And so we'll ride this long train of abuses until we have nothing to lose. And we pull the brakes by continually electing immoral people and then giving them excuses before their behavior. Our framers would scoff and say we get what we deserve. The Constitution matters.
Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
When are we going to stop them from forcing us into servitude? When are we going to stop them? Because, to be honest with you, there's no forcing going on. They're not raising the debt ceiling or eliminating it altogether by force. They're not standing with guns to our heads. At worst, they offer up the fear of a little discomfort. Oh, well, we might have to delay your paycheck. Oh, we might have to cut your paycheck. Tell that to the millions of people who are out of work. The millions of people who are out of work because of our immoral government. The Department of Defense spent $43 million on a gas station in Afghanistan that should have cost no more than $500,000. That is immoral. But what is even more immoral is that it's an $800 million program aimed at boosting the economy of Afghanistan. What would the American people do if they had $8 million in their own pockets? What would the American people do if there were $8 million less collected in taxes? How would we boost the American economy with $800 million more dollars in our commerce? But what's even more immoral, I mean, can you wrap your brain around that? The Department of Defense, an $800 million program to boost the economy of Afghanistan, including a $43 million gas station. And you know what's wicked about that? They call that defense spending. Can we just look at all the immorality wrapped up in this? The Department of Defense spending $800 million on a program to boost the economic condition of Afghanistan when millions of people are out of work in America. $43 million spent on a gas station that should have cost no more than $500,000. And then refusing to answer questions about it. See, the immorality just compounds upon itself. And then when you think about that, all right, so now we've got reports about coming out about this. And we have people commenting about it and people outraged about it. And the big question is, who's in charge? Why won't the Department of Defense tell us who's in charge? Really? Do we have to ask that question? Fox News asking that question. Who's in charge? Is it a mystery? Where does that money come from? That money comes from us. How is that money collected? That money is collected through taxes. How are taxes spent? By legislation. How are budgets created? By Congress. Who gave the Department of Defense $800 million to spend in Afghanistan? Who's in charge? Congress is in charge. Because you see, the Department of Defense would not have that money if Congress wasn't giving it to them. The Pentagon says they've spent $43 million between 2011 and 2014 to, quote, fund the construction and to supervise the initial operation of the gas station, which included $12.3 million in direct costs and $30 million in overhead costs. What are overhead costs? Well, that's your padding of your defense contractors. That's what I've been telling you. This defense budget that we have to pass, the NDAA, has nothing to do with paying the salaries of our soldiers. It's about $43 million stuffed in pockets of defense contractors. Unnecessary gas station in Afghanistan, $42 million, a whole program, $800 million. And what could we do that? And the Department of Defense is blocking access to the documents, people are complaining. Senator Chuck Grassley. Why are they blocking this? Maybe, Senator, because you're weak, spineless, and immoral and won't do your job.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Do you know what an immoral government does? An immoral government sits back and points fingers and complains about things that they've created. Senator Chuck Grassley is upset because the Department of Defense is blocking access to documents and personnel that would shed light on how $800 million was spent. He's upset. He's shocked. Really. Because I'm thinking if you were really upset, Senator Grassley, you would actually do something about that. Maybe you would spearhead some kind of investigation. Maybe you would spearhead a movement in Congress to defund the Department of Defense in these endeavors and simply say, fine, you don't want to have transparency in how you spend the money that we give you. We're going to take it away. We're done. We're removing your budget. We will defund you, Pentagon, until you give us what we need to know. Do you know what's ironic? We're like, oh, well, that will never happen. The government already does that. Don't you know the government does that? What was the first thing that the Fed said to states who didn't want to have the Obama exchanges? Well, if you don't do what we want you to do, we're going to withdraw your funding. Well, it's not just the states, it's everybody. An Illinois school district faces the loss of federal Title IX funding for refusing to let a boy who identifies and dresses as a girl into the female locker room to change. Yes, the U.S. Department of Education sent a letter to the Township High School District 211 and said, if you do not allow this boy to dress with girls because he identifies himself as a girl, then we will remove your funding. So how is it that the federal government can strong arm us like a bunch of mafioso loan sharks with our own stinking money? And yet Congress won't do the same thing to its rogue agencies that are spending like drunken sailors. No offense to the drunken sailors. This is immoral, people. This is the epitome. This is the very definition of immorality. This feigned offense and shock over what the government is doing makes me want to vomit. May I just mention to you that I have a really difficult time speaking to federal politicians. I really do. It's a very, very trying thing for me to control the disdain that I have for their behavior. And so the conversations that I have with federal representatives and senators are very controlled. In the beginning, I am restraining myself to the highest extent of my personal willpower. So you see, the moment they speak to me about this, oh, you don't really know how it works. Isn't that right, Carrie Bentivoglio? You don't know how it really works. I have no more willpower left. The moment I call a representative and their staffer says, oh, well, my people don't have time to speak to you. You have to speak to me, the switchboard operator. My willpower is gone. I have a great deal of respect for Justin Amash. And I have called his office on several occasions for information, and I have had no trouble speaking to people. But I called yesterday to speak about something of great concern. And his switchboard operator refused to even pass on my message to someone. Well, I'll answer your question because our people don't have time to speak to you. Are you freaking kidding me? What is up with that? My blood pressure goes through the stinking roof when I hear something like that. Why do we have to feel like subjects? Like we have to be knights that have to defeat the moat dragons around the castle just so we can speak to these people who are being held up as princes. I'm going to tell you what, that makes me stinking fighting mad. Who do these people represent? She says, well, we can only take questions from our constituents. Really? Is that so? And I asked her, I said, do you take campaign donations from people who are not your constituents? Well, I'm not allowed to answer campaign questions in this office. Don't patronize me, you silly little girl. You don't answer my question because you know the answer to that question. And I'm sick and tired of this, and I expect more from Justin Amash's office. I'm really upset about this. I hope you can feel that about me. Because this is immoral. And it's our fault. Because we have allowed these people who have been hired by us to actually work for us and to a job for us and to be employees for us and for them to treat us as if we are irrelevant, as if our questions are intrusive, as if we are not worthy of their time, is just proof of their immorality. It's proof that we have allowed this to go on way too long. No law contrary to the Constitution can be valid. And because we have allowed that to happen for so long now, even those that we have, and that I have personally held up as being the example of what we should be, have become greater than the people. We've allowed the deputy to become greater than the principal, the servant to be above the master, the people. And the representatives of the people have become superior to the people themselves. Why? Why? Because we've become inattentive to what they do. We've allowed them to run around and be arbitrary for way too long. I am not attacking Justin Amash. And we've got to get over this idea that, and this personal problem with pointing out when people do things we don't like. I'm sorry. I have a right to air my... I have a right, an inherent right. Let me just say that aloud again. I have an inherent right to air my grievances about the people in government. And if they won't listen to me personally, I will air them publicly. I did not go on air and publicly air my grievance until Justin Amash's office refused to speak to me. And you all know how I feel about Justin Amash. But no man is above reproach. And no politician is above the people. Remember, Thomas Jefferson warned us about this, even about himself. In a letter to Edward Carrington in 1787, Jefferson wrote, quote, if the people become inattentive to the public affairs, you and I, Jefferson said, even me, you and I will be in Congress and assemblies and judges and governors shall all become wolves. It seems to be the law of our general nature, in spite of individual exceptions. And experience declares, Jefferson says, that man is the only animal which devours his own kind. Oh, but Chrisanne, You're devouring your own kind by picking on the Republicans. Hey, I have no kinship with any single person, RRD, that violates the Constitution, votes against the Constitution, and refuses to recognize that he or she is an employee of the people worthy of their questioning. In submission to them. I have no kinship with people like that. So you cannot accuse me of devouring my own because they are not of me. And we have a responsibility to our children to address our grievances. And if they won't do it in private, we have an obligation to do it in public. Samuel Adams said, if we tamely suffer a lawless attack upon our liberty, we encourage it. When we just allow them to vote contrary to the Constitution, which is an attack on our liberty, the whole purpose of the Constitution, as declared in the preamble, is to preserve the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. And yet, here we are, encouraging the destruction of our liberty. He says, it is a serious consideration that should weigh heavy upon our minds that ages and millions yet unborn will be the miserable sharers of our experience. We'd better start looking ahead and realizing that we are creating masters instead of maintaining employees. The weapon of my choice, don't censor my voice. Hate me if you won't, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up. I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my shit till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So I'm a little riled up today, I suppose. How can you not be upset when you have the President of the United States giddy over spending our children into oblivion, signing a budget that will increase our debt by over $100 trillion? The President of the United States has the audacity to talk about it being a Christmas present. There's no better Christmas present. He says no better Christmas present than $100 trillion. And he claims that Christmas present is for the American people. Are we that stupid? Have we become that colossally and constitutionally brain dead that we actually believe that $100 trillion in debt as a minimum is a Christmas present to the people? Well, I guess so. How many Americans will bust out their credit cards and go into debt to buy Christmas presents for their children and their families? Maybe Christmas has become the season of debt, and so maybe that this is an accurate reflection of the American people. Remember, we're not a reflection of our government. The government is a reflection of its people. And since so many Americans are going to go out this holiday season and put themselves in debt, maybe debt is a Christmas tradition now. 'Tis the season to be greedy, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. And it's reflecting in our government. And John Boehner and your new Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, dancing a jig on the chains of our children. I don't know what to say about that. How do you deal with a government that will spend you into oblivion, your future into oblivion? Debt is slavery. If you don't believe that debt is slavery, then try and go ahead and quit your job and start something new. If you hate your job and you don't like it, then quit your job and start something new. Well, you can't. Maybe you can. But most Americans cannot, because they're in debt. How about that bumper sticker? I owe, it's off to work, I go. That's not funny. That's sad. You have no liberty. You have no liberty to work and in the work that in your heart enjoys. You have no liberty to do as you want to do for your family. You have no liberty to advance, to move, to do something different. Because you, not you personally, obviously, this is a gender and neutral statement of pronouns. The American people are in so much debt. And that's something that makes John Boehner and Paul Ryan happy. It makes Barack Obama giddy. And I'm speechless. Why do we allow them to be this way? Why do we allow ourselves to be enslaved this way? Why do we allow these people to be superior to us? They threaten to withhold our money from us. They threaten to take more money from us, so they have more money to withhold from us. And yet, when we are absolutely, thoroughly, and completely disgusted with the magnitude of their immorality, and we threaten to withhold money from them, we are the criminals. I don't think so. If you are circumventing the Constitution, if you are increasing our debt by $100 trillion, you are immoral, you are corrupt, you are disgusting to the spirit of liberty, and you are the criminal. It's a time for America to start enforcing the law and stop being subjects. God bless. See you tomorrow.